All right, take your Bibles, turn to Luke number 1, Luke chapter number 1. We'll have to go pretty quickly this evening. Luke chapter number 1, we're going to read verses 26 down through verse number 38, verses 26 down through verse number 38. And it has been my intent, I don't know if we're going to make it there, that we'd be able to read through the Christmas accounts and the birth of our Savior at least five times in the month of December. I don't know if we're quite going to get there yet, but I think the more we read it, the more it's going to mean to us. So Luke chapter number 1, verses 26 down through verse number 38. So who would read 26, 27, Shannon. So 28, 29, all right. 30, 31, all right, sister. 32, 33. Debbie, 34, 35, Nola, and who would take 36 through the end? Annette, all right, thank you. All right, go ahead and let's start reading, then when we're done, we'll pray. Father, once again, we thank you for this time we can look into your word. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. Father, and I pray begin already to prepare our hearts, Father, for the teaching and preaching of your word. Father, would you bless this time that we meet together for the next few moments, Father? And Lord, when we're done, we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we read this passage of scripture here in Luke chapter number 1 and verses 26 down through verse number 38, I've entitled this message, When Christmas Comes More. When Christmas becomes more than a story. When Christmas becomes more than a story. Or we could give it this title, aka Three Choices That We Need to Make for Christmas. Three Choices That We Need to Make for Christmas. For all of those that were involved in the original Christmas story, Christmas was something more than just a story that they read. Think about when the angel Gabriel met Mary with the glad tidings that she was chosen to give birth to the Messiah. It was a complete life-changing event for her. It was a life-changing event for Joseph. And it wasn't something that Mary just read once a year. She sat around a Christmas tree before ripping open the presents like perhaps happens at our houses. It was a reality for Mary. Christmas was more than a story to Mary. It was life and a reality of the life that she was living and was going to live over the next 9 or 10 months and eventually for the whole life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, somehow, through the grace of God, I believe Mary makes three choices. And these three choices that Mary made, she made these as her life literally spiraled out of control into the sovereign prophecy of the Bible. Now, we look at it and we say Mary's life was spiraling out of control. But again, we understand and we know that God is still sovereign. And what was taking place was prophesied thousands of years before this happened. And these three choices that Mary made, guess what? they're within our grasp as well. And I believe that if we are going to have a Merry Christmas, if we're going to have a time that we set aside to thank the Lord for His coming to earth, that you and I, we need to grasp these three great truths. And they're available there, just like they were for Mary. We have to look for the opportunity, and then when we see it, we need to grab them. Well, what are these choices? Very quickly, notice in verse number 38, we find the first choice that Mary made was to trust. You see, Mary was shocked by Gabriel's visit. Listen, there's not a person in the Bible where an angel showed up that they weren't shocked. Some were afraid. Some were, afraid. But nonetheless, all of them were shocked. And it seems to me that the innocent of the moment, Mary might have asked these questions. She might have said, but what's Joseph going to think about all this? I mean, if she would have been me, I would ask questions like this. Maybe she would have thought, what's my family going to say? Or can you go explain it to my family? Because I know they're not going to believe me when I tell them that I'm a virgin. Are you sure you have the right girl? I mean, I'm just Mary. I mean, surely there's somebody else that could bear the Son of God. And no, maybe she thought these thoughts. It can't be me. I'm still a virgin. I'm just a spouse to my husband, Joseph. They haven't came together yet as man and wife. But listen, her first question wasn't those things. Her first question was one of surprise and wonder. And notice what she says. How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? So Mary's question to the angel was a logical one. So we could say she had her head screwed on, right? She was thinking, right? She said, well, I don't understand this. How can this be? I'm just engaged. I'm not married yet. And basically, we find that Mary asked the same question with a little bit different twist that Zechariah asked in Luke chapter number 1 and verse 18. And the Bible said, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. You see, here's the difference between Zechariah's question and Mary's question. Zechariah's question was asked in skeptical unbelief. He asked as a skeptic, as unbelief that God can't do that. But Mary's question was asked in a wonder-filled faith. And she said, basically, well, I don't know how you're going to do it, but if it be so, praise the Lord for that. And her next response was one of mature faith. Notice what she says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. You see, Mary was a very, very young lady. She probably was in her early teenage years, not latter teenage, early teenage years. Some say between 11 and 14 that she was. And so for a young lady to have that kind of faith, it must be something. But see, what did Mary do? Mary, she chose to trust. You know, even when she didn't know the answers. Even when she was numb, and even when she was shocked, and no doubt she was, if you put yourself in her place, you would have to say that I was numb and I had shock. Every part of her future had just been rewritten. This is not what she planned. She planned on having a child someday, but she wanted to wait till she and her husband came together and they had a family. They could plan on having a family. Every part of her future had just been rewritten. And when her world was shaken beyond her ability, perhaps even to wrap her head around it or even sort it out, we find that she still chose to trust. In spite of all those things, Mary still trusted. You see, her trust demonstrated a key principle that sometimes you and I miss, and that simply is this. Submission is an expression of trust. And when Mary submitted to God's will for her life, that she would bear Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Emmanuel, a God with us, that she understood that she was trusting God and Him knowing what was best in her life. So let me ask you this question. What in your life seems impossible right now? In your life, what do you think seems impossible? What is it that you know that God wants you to do, but yet you haven't stepped out by faith as Mary did? What has He directed you to do? Not what He asked you, but what has He directed you to do, told you to do? But all you can say is, how shall this thing be? And you can fill in the blank with any visible evidence that you might have in front of you. And you look out and you say, well, how can this thing be? How can I do this? Or why do you want me to do that? You see, Mary had complete trust. Listen carefully to Gabriel's answer in Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. It is true. With God, nothing shall be impossible. But guess what? We have to make a choice to believe, just like Mary did. Well, Mary, she made a choice, but there's something else. In verses 46 and verse 47, we find that she rejoiced. You know, just like you have, I heard lots of sermons that remind us of Mary's difficulties. Think about it. She had an unwed pregnancy. She had the change of life plan. She was ridiculed. She had fear. And that's just the beginning of things that you can even begin to fathom what Mary was going through. But if you really think about it, you only find those difficulties in the account of the Christmas story. Never from the mouth of Mary. Do you ever think about that? Not one time does Mary ever mention these difficult things. Not one time does she ever have, from her lips, have fear and ridicule and complain about the change of life, complain about unwed pregnancy. Not one time. It's all in a Christmas story, but it doesn't come from Mary's mouth. You see, Mary had every reason to complain, but instead of complaining, she didn't do that. She did this. She chose to rejoice. And her first words to Elizabeth in Luke 1 in verse 46 and 47, it said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." You see, she could have complained. She could have said to Elizabeth, "Oh, you can't believe it. Boy, God asked me to have Jesus Christ, his son. I wasn't even married yet. Boy, he ruined all my plans. And man, this is just a big old mess." But she didn't do that. She chose to give God honor and glory. And if it would have been me, I probably would have said something like this. "I want to trust God, but I'm so confused that I hurt on the inside. I'm glad that I'm here. I need a friend to talk to, Elizabeth. Would you let me talk to you for a little bit?" Maybe she would have said, "I'm confused. I'm lonely." Maybe she said, "I'm afraid." Well, maybe not. I wouldn't have put it in quite those many words because I am a man. I might have put it a little bit different than Mary might have. But I definitely would have made sure that Elizabeth knew all my fears and all of my hurts and all of my confusion and all the reasons for my fears, but she does not do that. And just as Mary had every reason to complain, guess what? She had more reasons to rejoice. Now think about this next time you get into a bad fix and we want to complain and whine and complain. I believe if you'll look, you'll find more reasons to rejoice than you have to complain. And think about this. The news that came to Mary came to her in a very unexpected way with some unexpected consequences of that news. She just learned, think about it, she was going to be the mother of the Messiah. She would be God's only begotten son. Think about what an honor that was for her, what an honor that would be for Joseph and their extended families as well. Listen, I wouldn't have faulted her if Mary would have started complaining. I wouldn't have faulted her. I probably would have felt right in a pity party with her and said, "Well, yeah, I'm sorry, boy. If it weren't for you know, bad luck, you wouldn't have any kind of luck, huh?" But she didn't do that. We find that she rejoiced. She chose to rejoice. You see, if you and I are going to rejoice, it's going to have to be a choice. Mary chose to rejoice. You know, it's a choice God commands you and I to make. That familiar verse in Philippians 4:4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. It's a command that we are to rejoice. You know, I can't always find reasons. I can always find some kind of reason to complain. I mean, you know, it's always something. You know, there's always something that you can complain about. You know what? And be truthful with you and you be truthful with me. Sometimes I just do it. You know, I just fall into the trap and I just start complaining. And I know that you're no different than me. Sometimes you do as well. But, you know, if I take Philippians 4:9 for the command that it is, I can always find plenty of reasons to rejoice in the person of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. But here's the kicker. It's a choice you have to make. I can't make that choice for you. You can't make that choice for me. Mary had to make that choice on her own. We can complain about the difficulties of this life, or we can choose, get this now, to rejoice in the favor, the kindness, and the love of Jesus Christ that he has for you and I. You see, here's the truth. Mary's choice wasn't a very easy one to make. I mean, it was bleak when the announcement came. I mean, I know the angel came and it was God's son, but you know, when you start looking from the fleshly side, it looked pretty bleak that she was supposed to be a virgin. She was betrothed, but yet still found with child. She could see the handwriting on the wall, and that's why the angel had to come and speak to Joseph about still marrying Mary, because they knew what was going to happen. She'd be put away, given a written of divorcement, and be shunned, basically, for what had happened to her. So the truth is a choice that we can make. Well, we find that Mary made a choice and she rejoiced, but then notice very quickly in Luke 2 in verse number 19, we find that Mary pondered. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get mechanical about things that I do. Do you ever get mechanical about things that you do? Let me just give you for example. And I'll just share my heart with you tonight. Sometimes, take for instance, when we sing hymns in church. Sometimes I sing a hymn, and man, my heart is just so full of worship. Oh man, when you stand up and sing a special, man, my heart's so overwhelmed. I just feel the closeness of the Holy Spirit. God is speaking to my heart. But then yet, to be honest with you, there's other times that when I sing, I'm just repeating some words. And when I'm singing those very words or those very hymns, or I'm listening to what you're saying to me, I'm thinking about what I need to do for the next part of the service. Am I preaching? Are we taking the offering up? What am I going to say? What about this announcement? I wish they'd turn the heat down because it's so hot in here, and just go on and on, on and on. Then you say, well, I don't do that, Pastor Dave. I bet you do. I bet when the man of God stands and preaches, 400 million different things fire in your brain. Like, where are we going to go eat that after church? I hope it gets done soon because, oh, man, we're going to be back at 4:15 for choir, 4:30 for choir. And boy, I hope my paycheck comes in the bank early. I got to go Christmas shopping. And it just boo, choo, 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 choo. You say, how do you know? Because I'm one of you. You know, and you have to concentrate, really concentrate, ponder if that's really not going to happen. Well, sometimes it happens that way. You know, I think about December. You know, December has so much responsibility. I mean, gifts at work, gifts at home, food, presents, church activities. It's easy for the whole month really to turn in some to like one big long dragged out activity from December the 1st all the way to December the 2nd. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves right about now caught in that trap. Sometimes after Christmas Day, things ease up a little bit. But I want you to understand this, that's not the way it's supposed to be. This is supposed to be a time of wonder, a time of amazement, a time that we don't allow the Christmas season to become mechanical inside of our life. You see, Mary didn't allow that to happen. She was different. And she engaged in her life and with her loved ones in such a way that she experienced Christmas the way that God wants us to experience it, with awe and wonder. And Luke 2, verse 19, the Bible says, and Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Remember, Christmas wasn't just a story to Mary. To you and I, oftentimes, we look at it as just a story. But to Mary, it wasn't a story. And she refused to let the unusual set of circumstances drag her down. To Mary, Christmas was a marvelous time and a marvelous celebration. Why? Because she took the time to ponder God's word and the mysteries of God working inside of her life. But guess what? You and I don't really do that, do we? We don't really take the time to let God reveal himself to us. We don't find the time. We don't find the space. We don't find that quiet space inside this busy season just to ponder, or sometimes just to think about what God is doing inside of our life and what God directs us to. No wonder Christmas gets to be so mechanical. No wonder Christmas is so exhausting by January 2nd. No wonder Christmas is so distracting from the main theme of the Christmas season, the birth of our Savior, because we don't take time to ponder. Well, Mary's stable wasn't as grand as you and I could imagine it was. You know, you watch that cartoon Little Drummer Boy, and that stable looks like a good place to be. I mean, they show the wise men there. We know the wise men weren't there. We know the shepherds were there. The angels were there. The donkey, talking donkey was there. And I know it's a cartoon, but you look at that and you think, well, that wasn't a bad place to be. Surely beats Motel 6, doesn't it? I don't know if it does or not, but I'm just saying it wasn't as grand as a town as we imagined. Think about it. In a stable, there was plenty of distractions there for Mary. The animals, perhaps, the smell, the stench. I don't know. I wasn't there. I can only imagine what it may or may not be. The stale air, if it was actually a cave that they want us to believe nowadays. But because she was human, there's also not outward distractions, but she had inward distractions inside her own heart that threatened to take over the attention of her heart and the attention of her mind. But guess what? Mary still chose to ponder. In spite of the outward and inward distractions, Mary chose to ponder. What did she do? Focus is a choice of our hearts. And if we choose to carve out time in our lives to focus our hearts on worshiping God, the distractions from without, the distractions from within are never voluntarily going to leave your being so you can do that. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and say, well, I don't have to worry about this anymore. I'm not going to worry about that. No, they're always going to be there. So you have to focus. You have to ponder. You have to set them aside. You have to choose to shut out all the noise of the season and just worship Jesus. Well, Mary had three choices for Christmas. Mary's decision began with a simple choice. Number one, just to trust God, even when she didn't understand it. And when she expressed that trust by submitting to God's will, are you willing to do that as well? She continued down the path of trust by choosing to rejoice, remember God's goodness to her, God's favor, instead of complaining about her trials and tribulations, which probably most of us would have done. And lastly, her choices were stabilized inside of her heart as she made room to ponder, in other words, meditating on the wondrous events, the prophecy that was unfolding right before her eyes. So just like Mary, we'll make only those choices when we allow Christmas to become more than just a story. Make it a reality in your life. Father, we love you this evening. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful passage.